Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means we welcome in the big guy, Ross Tucker. Ross, how are you doing, sir?
Awesome, Jim. I'm fired up. Always love talking with you. Always love talking Penn State football. And it's nice after a third straight win.
It is. It's definitely now a winning streak that we're talking about. But it's not as easy as they just come in, win their third game in a row, dominate from start to finish. They really struggled in the first half. My feeling was it was like watching that team that went 0-5. Then all of a sudden in the second half, we see that new team, the team with the winning streak. The thing I've been hearing from most people that I talk to, Ross, is how do you explain it? What changed from the first half to the second half?
It's a good question, and I actually thought it was almost really primarily just the second quarter, Jim. You know, because the start of the game, I thought the defensive line got off to a pretty good start. I thought, oh, man, these guys are fired up. Even without Awe, you know, Shaka Toney made some plays. Antonio Shelton came firing off the ball and made a tackle for a loss. And I thought, wow, these guys, senior day, these guys came to play, especially the guys that – you know, it's their last time playing, or could be at least, with Toney and Shelton. And I thought Penn State's offensive line did a good job on the first drive. They kind of controlled the action. I mean, there was maybe a false start on Fries and then a holding penalty on Fries. So other than the penalties on Fries, maybe he just had a bad play once. I'm trying to remember. But other than a couple plays on Fries, I thought the offensive line got off to a good start as well. So I thought the first quarter, at least the first couple drives, they looked like the team that beat Michigan and Rutgers. But then after that, wow, they were not winning the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You know, Michigan State was kind of running the ball down their throat, Jim, in the second quarter. And then obviously the passing was just, I mean, Daquan Hardy was beat on a deep post, but where's the safety? I mean, it looked to me like Lamont Wade was supposed to be deep middle, but he wasn't there based on the way Hardy was playing it. I'm no coverage expert, but certainly it looked like there was supposed to be a safety in the middle of the field, and it looked like that guy was Lamont Wade. Then, you know, Joey Porter Jr. and Wade not able to make a play on the ball on another deep post touchdown. Now, those guys were actually in position. They just couldn't make a play on the ball. And then same thing happened on the next drive. It was like 1, 2, 3 in a row, Jim, where the Penn State defensive backs could not make plays on the football. I think it was Marquise Wilson that got beat twice in a row on the same drive. And next thing you know, it's 21-10, and I'm sitting here having memories and flashbacks, and I bet a lot of the listeners feel the same way. It feels like over the years, Penn State has made a lot of Michigan State quarterbacks look a lot better than they really are, doesn't it? I mean, and in this case, remember like Lewerke? I thought Lewerke was going to be a first-round pick after the way he played against Penn State a couple of those years. And there's been other guys as well. Penn State makes Michigan State quarterbacks look awesome. But then you know what? The short yardage stuff with Levis, very effective. It typically always is. Clifford busts up the middle for a long touchdown. But I will say this. I wrote this note down, Jim, and I see this especially in high school and college the most. You even see a little bit in the NFL with certain quarterbacks nowadays, certain teams. But I feel like running the quarterback a lot is almost something that you do when you can't move the ball any other way. Does that make sense, Jim? It's like, okay, we're not throwing it great. We're not running it well. Let's run the quarterback because that gives us one more extra blocker and takes away the defense's number count advantage, and that's probably our best shot to move the football at this point because we can't move it any other way. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a negative, but as an analyst, that's how I kind of look at it. When you see a team running the quarterback over and over and over again, it's almost like, well, they can't generate offense sort of the regular way or without doing that.
Russ, watching the game, when I see Will Levis on third and short or fourth and one, and it's effective. He's getting the first down. I have no issue with that. I don't think there's a problem with that. But when they've brought him in and he's running the ball on third and seven, or he comes in for a whole series starting on first down, that's when it seems, as a fan anyway, I have an issue with it. But it seems like when they choose to throw the ball, they have some weapons in Jahan Dotson. We see it now in Parker Washington. Brenton Strange seems like he could catch the ball. Are they going too conservative? Do they have some weapons that they should be using?
Yeah, I think so. Because I actually thought one of the things I jotted down was I thought Kirk Ciarrocca did some awesome things in the second half of that game. You know, if you're going to criticize him, and he should get criticized for some of the faults they've had this year, how about that fake wide receiver screen where Clifford was able to hit Parker Washington deep? I mean, some of the Levis touchdown drive, then Parker Washington with Clifford pumps outside and then goes deep to Parker Washington. That was a beautiful play design, beautiful play call. Washington was wide open. And then, of course, Dotson, you know, gets the punt return touchdown. He has really turned into to be a very special player. And I think people need to be reminded, he was sort of an afterthought in that recruiting class. You know, he was kind of like late. I think he committed to UCLA. And is it true that I didn't know if Penn State didn't have room for him, and then later on they did have room for him and they said, oh, we can take you now? Or if I had heard somebody say, and I don't know if this is true or not, I read this somewhere though, that when Chip Kelly took over at UCLA, one of the things he did was kind of pull Dotson's scholarship. Is that true?
I don't know if he pulled, and I'm searching my memory bank. I thought it had more to do with something at UCLA versus, you know, Penn State all of a sudden had a scholarship opened up. I seem to recall something going on the UCLA side of it.
Can you imagine that, by the way, that Chip Kelly, your first move is to get rid of Jahan Dotson, not take Jahan Dotson? I mean, they could really use him. So anyway, I thought Kirk Ciarrocca called a terrific game in the second half of that game, and they didn't have to rely as much on the quarterback run game. I think it's a nice changeup when they put Levis in sometimes, Jim, especially if they let him throw sometimes. Because, you know, on that touchdown drive in the third quarter, end of the third quarter, that was a big difference in the game. And it was almost like, you know, Levis comes in and it was so consistent, run, run, run. Well, Levis comes in, throws to Jahan Dotson, 36 yards, boom. Clifford to Parker Washington for 26 yards and two Levis runs, and it's a touchdown. But it was that second and 10 pass from Levis to Dotson that really got them going on that drive.
And I'm glad you brought up that pass. That was the one I believe was just a tad behind Dotson with the defender flashing in front of him. In fact, when I saw the ball in the air, I was thinking interception. And Dotson made a great play. So, yeah, you add in that punt return. Dotson looks like a really special player, doesn't he?
He is. And, you know, we'll see what decision he makes. There's a lot of good receivers this year again. I think he probably would be best served to come back. But, you know, from his perspective, he's not an overly big guy. And he might think, well, what am I going to do next year that I didn't do this year? Right? He's had an awesome year.
He did, but I've this is as the fan and me talking, that hopefully he'd get more more play, more talk about him, and especially with the full season, he could rack up numbers, and we hope it would be a much better Penn State team next year where he'd get a lot more of the limelight. One last thing, Ross, you mentioned the play where Sean Clifford pump fake to the wide receiver screen, went deep, wide open Parker Washington. Our listeners are probably going to be tired of me bringing this up, but that is the third time this year a similar play. Sean Clifford pump fake, somebody wide open for a touchdown. If you recall the game that Clifford didn't start, he came in the first two passes were touchdowns. It was similar. I have a theory on this, which is that Sean Clifford seems to just stare down his first receiver, and that's what the defense gets conditioned to. So when you do a play like this, the defense is going to really overreact to where that pump fake is going.
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to that. Now, I do think he's done a better job of moving off of some of his reads more recently than he did earlier in the season. Look, I think at every level, the pump fake can be a great thing. I called the game Sunday night, Jim, for the Bills and the Steelers, and Roethlisberger pumped it and then threw it deep to James Washington for a touchdown for the Steelers. Pump fakes can be very, very effective. I mean, even in that same game, you know, Josh Allen gave a little shimmy before he threw it deep. Just a little hip, like little subtle thing can make a big difference.
And those DBs, if they bite on it, you end up with someone wide open. All right, Ross, we got to real quickly just look forward. We've got Illinois coming up this week. Penn State is a 15.5-point favorite. The over-under is 52 points. What do you see for that game?
I think Penn State's going to put them away. I think Penn State's going to beat them badly. You know, Illinois just fired their coach, Lovie Smith. Do we even know if he's coaching in this game or –
I don't think he is. I think they already named an interim.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think they're going to come out. Penn State's going to play extremely well. They're going to build on the second half of that game against Michigan State. I think Penn State wins this one going away. I don't often say that. I think this is like 31-17, maybe 31-13. Penn State wins four in a row, and then we'll see what happens with the bowl game or whatever. But 31-17 Penn State.
All right, there it is. 31-17 is what Ross has it. Stick around. In quarter number three, we get to Ask Ross. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.